Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning, and I got to meet some new people this morning. And look around, and do you see anybody new that maybe they just had a facelift and you didn't know that? And is that wonderful? Anyway, I think anytime we have Jesus and you smile, you have a facelift. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm entering into a three-week series. Today is Life's Purpose, Enduring the Struggles. Church, I want you to know there is a reason you are alive. I want you to know there's a purpose for your life. And I want to spend 3 weeks talking about three different areas. Today, I'm going to talk about enduring the struggles. Next week, following the call. And the last week, running the race. And then the last Sunday will be Dave Reaver of this month. Like it or not, everybody say like it or not. Anybody ever said that before? Like it or not, struggles are going to come in life. Amen. Because as a believer, you have an enemy. How many of you just love agony and heartache? Not many hands on that one. How many despise the pain of life? Yeah, that's more like it, right? Let me give you some man quotes regarding people trying to understand pain of life. One is, pain doesn't just show up in our lives for no reason. It's a sign that something needs to change. Or another quote, the pain you feel today will be the strength you feel tomorrow. And there is some truth in those thoughts, but that's a man thought. Today I want to give you a God thought from God's Word. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18, Paul writes this, therefore we do not lose heart. What that means, we don't lose our emotions. We don't lose our thoughts of God because that's where our hearts are set on. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. How many feel like you're just wasting away a lot faster than you should, right? But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This morning I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. If you don't know, the Amplified Bible amplifies it. It tries to capture the thoughts of these Greek words to give you maybe a little bit deeper understanding, and it reads this way. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. For our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Did you see that splash point? That's why I got excited about it. Church, what God has prepared for us is exciting. Amen. Verse 18, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Amen. So, church, we've got to learn to keep our eyes on the eternal. In this world, we are going to walk through trials and troubles and struggles. But we've got to keep our focus and keep our minds on the things of God. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, over these next few weeks and today, I pray you would help each one of us to begin to really understand our life's purpose, the purpose and design that you have for us. Help us understand how we're to live in this world and not get caught up in the world and the way the world thinks. Help us to let our light so shine in the darkness and live with clarity of purpose as we live for you. In Jesus' name. And if that's what you desire also, would you say amen with me? Amen. Now, as a pastor, I would love to remove all your struggles. I would. I wish I could remove all the pain. I wish I could somehow the troubles of this life get them out of your life, but I can't. I know we dislike having to go through hard times, whatever that might be. But we have to learn and understand that God is working in and through every circumstance of life. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God," everybody say, "It is God." It is God who works in you. Who what? Who works? Go ahead and say, who works in me? Yeah. "For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." God is wanting to work in our lives and do so with his life's purpose. Everybody say, his life's purpose. Yeah. Now, I understand people detest trouble, especially when you can't see the reason attached to the struggle you're going through. There are some people, though, who like pain. They like tough situations. Why? Because they see an end result. In fact, there are people who pay money, put themselves in a hard place. Those who want to climb Mount Everest, or a mountain like that, why would you do that? Those who run a marathon, do we have any marathon runners in here? I know we have some in the church. They just don't show up at first service. I have never run a marathon, not even close. But I can imagine that somewhere the pain starts. For me, that'd be at least about a mile in. Somewhere I'd be... But those who train, of course, the struggle doesn't start for several miles. But then they got to run mile 10, 11, 12, and then 20, and 21, and 22, and 26.2 miles. I'll tell you now, it's not for me. But people do it because of the satisfaction they feel, the sense of accomplishment when they finish the race. They think it was worth all the pain. I want you to know, living for Jesus, no matter what that means in the days ahead, and you're saying, are you being prophetic about something coming? I'm being biblical about what's coming. I'm telling you, it is worth the pain and the struggle. It will be worth it all. So today, let's talk about life's purpose enduring the struggles. I'm going to take you to a verse that comes from the book of Luke, and these are the words of Jesus. So here it is, Luke 22:31. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat." What an exciting verse for the church. Isn't that great? In this passage, we have Jesus saying to Simon Peter, if you remember this story, and really to all the disciples, he says, "I just want you to know the devil wants permission to attack you. He wants to test you and put you through some trials." Now, in the Greek, the word for sift here is the Greek word sinianzo, meaning an inward agitation. How many have ever had one of those? An inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Wow. Jesus is telling Peter, Satan is going to try to embarrass you and humiliate you and make you not succeed. He wants you to fall short of your purpose and cause you to fail. I mean, he wants to make this really, really difficult for this next season of your life. How many would want Jesus to tell you that? Let's look at the scripture again, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Verse 32. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. Now, I like the part where Jesus is praying for me, right? Basically, it means Jesus is saying, okay, listen up, Peter. Satan is going to have permission to shake your faith, but I will be praying for you. Anybody ever been going through a tough time and somebody says, I'll be praying for you? And you're like, thanks. And I think it's a genuine thanks, but also you're kind of wondering, is there anything else you can do? I mean, do you really know what I'm going through? And if it was Jesus who told us, I'll be praying for you, I would be like, I appreciate it, Jesus, but by the way, aren't you the one who has all authority? Couldn't we just skip the prayer part and just get thee behind me, Satan, and let's just go right to that, right? I mean, we like that. Yeah. In the scripture, though, we have the devil asking to attack Peter and the other disciples. Now, understand this. Jesus did not cause the attack. But here's where the rub is. For whatever reason or purpose, Jesus allowed the attack and told Peter, I'll be praying for you. Now, I don't know if anyone feels like you're under attack today. In some way, you feel like the enemy's attacking your life. I will tell you this. I know that the United States of America is under attack by the enemy. Christians are under attack. And I know what you're asking. When is all this going to stop? I mean, when's all the frustration? All the people who are sick, the people who are hurting, the people who are in need, all the junk, the stuff that's going on in the world. I mean, what is the purpose and when will it all be over? And you kind of start to feel, God, when are you going to do something? I mean, God, do you not know we're going through some tough times here? And it's right there that we need to understand that whenever it feels like the devil is attacking, when you feel the enemy is testing you, it's important to remember this. Sometimes God's preparation for his purpose comes packaged as pain and struggle. Yahoo. Sometimes God's preparation for his purpose comes packaged as pain and struggle. How many remember our study of 1 Peter? That was at the beginning of this year, but we got to chapter 4. Let me read something to you again. Because when we go through studies like that, you need to know it wasn't to go through it to leave it. It was to go through it to learn it. So here's the repeat. Dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. So what does that tell us, church? Talk back with me just a little bit this morning. What does that mean? Trials are going to happen. They're going to come. Don't get, whoa, I didn't know where that, wow. That, you know what? They're going to happen. Instead, be very glad. This is opposite to the way man thinks. This is God thinking. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. So that you will have a wonderful joy of seeing the glory, his glory, when it's revealed to all the world. In other words, there's a purpose in the struggle. Ultimately, it's all for God's glory. Isn't that why we praise and worship at the beginning of the, every time we launch off together, it's like, God, this is all for you. Isn't that our worship? Oh, Lord, thank you, it's all for me. They're singing my favorite song. No, this is all for him. Remember, God might be using the situation that you're enduring to do something in you so he's able to do something through you in this world. The very thing you're going through and experiencing might be preparation for a purpose that God is preparing you for. And that is really what's going on in the story in Luke 22 that I started with. The setting of the story is this is right after Jesus has Passover with his disciples. In just a few moments, they're going to be heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's in the garden, by the way. Peter is going to try and prove he is a defender of Jesus. But God is working something in Peter before Peter can really fulfill his life's purpose. I don't know about you, but at times Peter makes me feel really good about myself. Why? Well, he has a knack for messing up. I mean, he gets to walk right next to Jesus and mess up. You get the same privilege. Let me look at some of the highlights of Peter's mistakes. Back in Matthew 16, actually early on, Jesus was predicting his death. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 21, the last part, he says that he must be killed, he says, and on the third day be raised to life. He prophesied, he predicted that. He was telling his disciples, this is my purpose. I'm to give my life for the people of the world. I am going to die, but I'm going to be raised to life again. And this is one of those moments Peter doesn't get it. In fact, verse 22, Peter took him aside. I just laugh at some of this. I mean, these are real people just like you. They just happened to walk over 2,000 years ago here, but they just were like you. Peter took him aside. Can't you just say, you ever done that? I need to have a little meeting over here with you. And began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This should never happen to you. And Jesus is like, Peter, this is why God sent me. And Peter says, no. Then we read this in verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now listen carefully to these next words. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And here's the thing. Just so you know, anytime Jesus calls you Satan, that's not good. Okay, just so you know that. It's here in Scripture, though, Jesus is declaring his divine calling. Think about it. Here is my purpose. And then Peter's telling Jesus, I'm not going to let that purpose be fulfilled. Over in Matthew 26, they're now in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying. He's working out the will of God in the flesh, but going to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And remember, Jesus had asked Peter and the other disciples, would y'all just pray for a little bit, for an hour, just keep watch? Jesus comes back. Peter, along with the others, they're all taking a nap. Peter just can't get it right. But then in John 18, when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's Peter, think about it, he is going to defend Jesus. In fact, Peter is going to do the very thing he said he was going to do. He's going to try to stop the plan of God. I want you to catch this. He still hasn't gotten it. John 18, 10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servants, or high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. We're told Peter takes his sword. I think he misses his mark. I think he meant to take off a head. But he hits Malchus's ear. And once again, Jesus is like, Peter, put the sword away. In fact, verse 51, Luke 22, but Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And next, we have the major mistake of Peter. And in fact, Jesus even said, this is going to happen. Jesus told him this right after Satan wanted to sift him. He says in Luke 22:34, Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. But let me back up to verse 33, because that was not what was in Peter's mind. In verse 33, but he, speaking of Peter, replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Peter's saying, I'll always be there for you. I'm in your corner. I'm your guy. If you count on anybody, you can count on me. After Jesus is arrested, we find out that three different times, Peter denies he even knows Jesus. A little servant girl, the Bible says, came up to him and said, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter says, I do not know him. Three different people, three different times, Peter denies knowing Jesus. And then the pain hits Peter after the last denial. Peter replied in verse 60 of 22 Luke. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord has spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And verse 62 says, and he went outside and wept bitterly. The pain felt like more than he could take. Peter's now thinking, I'm such a failure. I let Jesus down. I didn't live up to my potential. And church, that's where struggles can lead us. It can make you feel like a failure. But I want you to know God is working in you. We see the mistakes, God sees the potential. Satan may be sifting, but God is purposing. I know you say, or you may think, well, I'm supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit pouring out of my life. I mean, I'm supposed to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. But the only fruit I seem to be producing is anger and anxiety and frustration and fear and worry and hating myself when I mess up. But you need to know God's working in you. And we need to let Him work. Could I ask you a question? Where do you think God was in the middle of Peter's failures? Where was God in the middle of this struggle he was going through? I want you to know God was working in Peter. He was working a purpose in Peter's life. And church, we have to learn to not just see the struggles. We need to see your struggle through a perspective of purpose. Everybody say that. See your struggle through a perspective of purpose. You need to realize God just might be doing something in you. Because he's doing it in you before he's able to do something through you. That difficult thing you're going through, it's not without purpose. Satan may be sifting, but Jesus is praying for you. Hebrews 7:25 reminds us of this. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Paul writes in Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. God may have allowed the struggle you're going through to happen in your life, but you need to know you can endure the struggle. You will make it, because God is working a purpose in it all. Romans 8:28 reminds us, this is amplified again, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good too, and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. That means, church, in the blessing of our relationship with God, in that blessing of that relationship, God is working to fulfill His design and His purpose in us. And at times, you may have to endure a struggle. Why? So God can use you like He wants to. What we got to do is change our perspective of the struggle of life so we can see God's hand and God's purpose in the middle of our struggle. Now, I know what you're thinking. You have no idea what I'm going through. And you're probably right. I don't. But God does. And this is what God tells us. James 1:2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, does that just about cover it all? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And then listen to what he says next. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Church, let your endurance grow. You're going to endure the struggle. It will not overtake you. God tells his people in Isaiah 43:2, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Why? Because God's with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's working his purpose in and through you. Now let me take you back to Luke 22. This time I'll read the two scriptures again. I'll read, though, the rest of verse 32. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Worship team, would you go ahead and come? Jesus says, basically, listen, Peter, I'm praying for you. And by the way, the very thing your spiritual enemy wants to use to hurt you and destroy you, I'm going to use that to strengthen you so you can strengthen others. You're going to be different after this, Peter. You're going to be stronger, but you'll be prepared for my purpose. I don't know if all of you know the rest of the story in Peter's life, but after Peter denies Jesus, we find Jesus dies on the cross, and he's placed in a grave. Jesus rises from the grave, and he has an encounter with Peter, and he restores Peter. Prophetically, actually, Peter is told what you're going to be doing in the future. He said, you're going to feed my sheep. Peter really didn't get it still, like some of you. How long have you been going to church, and do you get it? The struggles are there to help us. Let it grow. Then after Jesus ascended and went into heaven, it's Peter with the other disciples, and 120 had gathered on the day of Pentecost. It was a celebration that they had done, but they were obeying Jesus at this point. Because Jesus said, I need you to go wait and tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And then Peter, gets filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Peter walks out of that room that day and gets to preach the first message on the power of the resurrected Savior and on the forgiveness of God. In fact, this is what Peter preached in Acts 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And by the Spirit of God, Peter now is getting it. At this point, Peter begins to declare who Jesus is and what he did, and using Old Testament scriptures to declare he is the Messiah, he's the one, and he does it without shame. And then down in verse 38, the people started saying, what do we need to do? Well, you've told us this. Well, what's our response? And Peter says in verse 38, Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, listen, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. About 3,000 people responded with repentance, and they found the forgiveness of God that day, just like Peter found it. Of all the disciples, it's Peter who really knew the forgiveness of God. If he wouldn't have walked through the struggles, I'm not sure he could have done what he did on that day. From all the mess ups, Peter can say, now, I know his grace. I know his goodness. And I know it firsthand. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. But as a believer, could I remind you, keep enduring the struggles. Keep enduring. Life's purpose will be found as you continue to allow God to work in you and through you. The scripture says that you'll comfort others with the comfort you've received from the Lord. There are situations that I've learned, and I can speak into them because I've been there now. Early on my ministry, there were things I just probably didn't know how to speak to. There's things I've learned. And I know it's hard, but there's a reason. There's a purpose. God is working in all things through those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He wants to do something good. There's always a purpose. Amen. Father, as we're about to close here, according to your word, we trust you with all of our hearts, and we lean not to our own understanding. But in all our ways, we want to acknowledge you. Lord, for those who feel like there's not a point, or it's not worth it, I pray that the power of your Spirit would bring them the comfort and help them to know that you're about to do something good with it all. God, give us eyes to see your purpose so we can fulfill your plan and give you glory in everything we do. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. May it be accomplished for your glory. Amen. This morning, I don't know if you have your cup. Is there anyone, if it doesn't have one, I just want to make sure we get it. They're just outside the door. Maybe, is there anybody? Just lift your hand if you didn't get a cup. Could a couple of gentlemen help? I want us to sing this first verse of a song that we just sang a few minutes ago. I want you to lift these words. Ready?
Every bad, through every heart, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress.
Yes.
You are my portion. You are my hiding place.
Can you say that again?
Yes. Through every battle, through every heart,
every heartache,
through every circumstance.
What's he doing?
I believe that you are my fortress.
Yes.
You are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe you are the way.
Loving. And he didn't just shout his love from heaven, but he showed his love when he came to earth. He became a person like you and I. He took on flesh, and he did so we could take on spirit. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was obedient even to death on a cross. He gave his life for you. He wants you to know him. The ultimate purpose of your life is to go to heaven. That's what he wants for you. And everyone here needs the grace of God. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And there may be some even here today, you've not really fully surrendered. But right now, you can put your faith and your trust in him as your Savior. You just need to repent of your sin and then give your life to him. Make him Lord of your life because he has a purpose for you. Now, on the other hand, I want you to know if you do not, then Satan has a purpose for you. You could have just stayed on the God thing. Church, there's only one way to heaven. And we have an enemy, we really do. But you can surrender. You see, Jesus fulfilled his purpose. And we're about to remember that. But if you need to receive God right now, I'm just having you bow your heads. Is there anyone in here? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I know as we walk the path, if there's anyone, if you would just slip your hand up and say, you know what, I need Jesus as my Lord. Just slip it up, you put your hand right back down, and I just, yes, ma'am. Just looking around. Would you just pray this with me, everybody? Just say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Would you make me new and fill me with your Spirit? I believe there's a purpose for me. Help me find that purpose in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And that simple belief and prayer makes you brand new. You say, well, how can it have the power to do that? Because there was one who fulfilled his purpose. In fact, he sat there with the disciples on the night he was betrayed, on the Passover night, and he took bread and he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body. Is broken for you. I am fulfilling my purpose. Because I want you to hear the second part in a moment. Jesus is fulfilling his purpose. And he gave thanks and blessed it. So, Father, could I say thank you for fulfilling your purpose? In Jesus' name, I receive this as I remember how faithful you were. Amen. Would you take the bread? And then it says, after supper, he took the cup. And he lifted it, and here's what he said this time. He said, this is my blood, and it's a new covenant. Because I did my purpose, I can give you purpose. A new covenant for you of grace, of mercy. And then he lifted it and blessed it. You're blessed because of what he did. And he's purposing your life. So don't get lost in the struggles. There's a new covenant. And this is about eternity, not about temporal. Amen? So God, thank you that you have purposed our lives. We receive this in faith, remembering that you have begun a new covenant with us. And Lord, that you're working in us. And Lord, help us to receive that and fulfill whatever that design is. Because God, I trust you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you receive the cup? Amen. Sing the second verse now. Stand with me as we close.
Through every blessing, through every promise.
Now,
through every breath I take, I believe that you are provided.
He's going to take care of us.
You are protected.
He's going to watch over us.
You are the one
we love.
I love.
So I believe you are. Push all this together. Because you want to go, well, I'm just struggling. That's why we got to talk about the call. And then we're going to have to talk about the race. I can't wait to get to the race. My mind is racing there. Because there's a point that I think has confused the church. And I want to clarify. You're going, then come and hear it. Because it's going to be good for you. It's going to grow you. Help you. Amen. So Father, be with us. Strengthen our lives. Lord, would you make us one? Would you continue to bind your church together? Lord, all the churches that are meeting today, Lord, who are worshiping you, Lord, would you just fill those places today with your presence? And Lord, awaken your body to their purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. God bless.